And you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my Fix It Up husband, Mark.
And my fixed up, beautiful, architecturally relevant wife, Teresa.
Architecturally relevant?
That's right.
So I like fit in with our home and with you and stuff?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, it's not random how you put yourself together. It's form, it's function, it's the whole thing.
I guess that's a compliment. That's
yeah.
An odd compliment.
Well, you got to know about super architecture stuff like me to understand that.
You're a super architecture stuff?
That's right.
Okay.
That's an actual title.
I think I would rather talk to our guest, Amy Hughes, right now from This Old House. How are you doing, Amy?
I'm great, and I'm so glad you both are so architecturally coordinated. I wish my husband and I could be so coordinated.
Well,
I'm the only one in my house who cares about such things.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Well, you know, and actually, I think it's kind of wonderful because I think we actually have projects that get done. Because he doesn't really have a really strong opinion about things. He just likes what I do. And I think that that's a very important thing in a marriage, and sometimes, you know, and that some people feel strongly about some things, and he has his stuff and I have mine, and, you know, we don't ever get to an impasse. You know, we can start a project and finish a project and both be happy, and, you know, there isn't that negotiation.
Well, we have a lot of that.
Which I kind of like. I think some couples, you know, send the other one away, you know, on a weekend trip with family or something, and then they surprise them with a project. But I think that surprise is really about getting a project done the way they want to get it done while the other one's away.
Might be true, because I know that when my husband travels, I get a lot more done because we aren't doing all that negotiation back and forth.
Yeah,
yes.
No, I think it can be wonderful doing projects together, but I like to do projects with friends who are a little more like-minded.
Oh, I like that.
That is really cool. Well, tell us about one.
Well, sure. So one of the things that, you know, one of the kind of things I'm most excited about right now is I have a new book called Salvage Style Projects, and that's out through This Old House. And what I did, this is something I've been working on for 7 or 8 years and been following salvage for over a decade, actually. But this is, you know, it's sort of a culmination of a ton of projects that I've built on my own and also with coworkers and with friends using old house parts. So things that I find at salvage yards, like an old door or a piece of a column or a fence section, like a piece of cast iron or wrought iron. And what I do is I try to take these sort of forlorn pieces and turn them into something really useful and kind of creative.
So, well, and
go ahead.
Oh, and like the old shoe trolley you have as your baker's rack, I saw.
Oh, we'll see. You know, that I love those projects because I don't actually have to do anything but clean them up. Finding them can be the hard part.
Yes.
I mean, actually, in that case, it was more like just convincing my father to give it to me because that's something that he had had. And it was just my favorite thing. When they moved, he gave it to me.
Now, how many times have your parents moved? Because I read that you moved 12 times before you were 18 years old. Are they still in the process of that?
It sounds like I'm some kind of latchkey kid, and I guess in some ways I was. My parents were divorced when I was really young, and I moved around a lot with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just because she was, you know, corporate executive. She was in telecom, but she also used to buy old houses and redo them. So we used to live, this was back in the day before, we had more liberal capital gains tax laws. So we would buy, she and my stepdad would buy these old houses and redo them on the weekends. And then we'd live in them for 2 years and then sell them. And so I moved, you know, every 2 years as a kid. I mean, often I'd stay in the same school district, but often not. I mean, we would move states in some cases. I never really got that attached to any place. But I definitely, as a kid, I kind of hated it because I just thought, well, you know, I don't want to move, you know, and I would like stop unpacking my back boxes because I just knew I'd have to pack them again in 2 years. So I just throw a tablecloth over a box and put a lamp on it and, you know, call it decor, you know. But
yeah.
I, uh, But, you know, I somehow picked up the bug, you know, and I ended up really kind of following that path as a career.
That is so cool because, like, it's sort of in your nature to be able to walk through the salvage yards and being able to look at it, look at, you know, the treasures that are there and not look at it like trash, like a lot of people kind of think about it as, and think about it in a creative way, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's, my mother really was into that. And, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, part of, you know, we would, she and my stepdad would buy these really old houses that no one cared about. I mean, this was in the 80s when people really, I think there wasn't, you know, it was sort of the beginnings, you know, late 70s, early 80s, you know, the beginnings of the preservation movement and kind of after we lost Penn Station and, you know, people were just starting to think about it. And my mom was, you know, sort of an ardent preservationist, just as a hobby. But, you know, so I grew up in junkyards. I mean, they weren't even called salvage yards at that time. I mean, we would also go into old houses before they were going to be demolished. And, you know, one of my favorite memories is actually breaking into a house that was about to be demolished. And this is, you know, I don't think we can get in trouble anymore.
Yeah, the statute of limitations is up on that.
You know, it's this beautiful house, and I had lived in suburban New Jersey, and it was about to be torn down, and my mom, I think, knew the contractor, and he said, you know, go ahead, get in, but of course, you know, he didn't meet us there, and we ended up climbing through a window and just kind of exploring the house. We didn't take anything, but part of the house had been damaged by fire, and you know, I still to this day think about this one room that was locked and we didn't have a key and we couldn't get in. And it's like there were beautiful things in this house. I mean, incredible carved newel posts and railings and a beautiful pier mirror, which is something I recreated myself years later. And but there was this locked room. And, you know, my mom told me the story. It was the conservatory, you know, the music room. And I still to this day think about, you know, what was in there and what we missed, you know. And you know, I think ever since then I've just been so interested in these old house parts and trying to save them and trying to find, you know, uses for them that kind of work with you know, with my lifestyle. I have a family and yes, I make things into furniture that I can really use.
Wow.
But also to preserve this stuff.
How does that translate into what you're working on in the forthcoming issue of the This Old House magazine?
Well, so this issue of our July issue is our annual reader-created issue. So this is where, you know, our readers and users of our website and fans of the TV show, they basically get on the website on thisoldhouse.com and they submit their projects. And we judge, you know, their DIY projects and, you know, we come up with a winner. And, so that's like, we have a whole house winner and, a bunch of one room wonders, I guess I'd call them, you know, and these are people who maybe redo a kitchen or something. But there's also some of our regular department columns in the magazine. So, and one of those is called Salvage Style. And this is the column that I produce every month or every other month. And so that one, you know, it's first person. It's one of the only first person columns we have in the magazine. And so what I was able to do with that is I had actually found this old, I believe it was an armoire door. It could have been maybe from a built-in cupboard or something, but I think it was an armoire. And I had found it on the street in my neighborhood. And one of my neighbors was literally the super in this building, was actually bringing it out and was about to put it down on the sidewalk, and I just grabbed it. And I, you know, I said, if that's going in the trash, I'd rather take it home with me now,
nice.
You know, before it sits there too long or the dogs come on their daily walk. So I rescued this door from the trash. I brought it home, and then I was thinking, you know, what am I going to do with this thing? And so I put it up on Facebook, and I created a salvage fan page after the book came out.
And what's the page?
It's Salvage Style Projects. And so if it's Salvage Style is hyphenated. So if you just go on Facebook and search Salvage Style Projects, it should come right up.
Cool.
And you can also find it, I think, through the This Old House Facebook page as well. But Salvage Style Projects should give you a direct link to it. And so what I did is I just took a picture of the door and I posted it on Facebook. And I just said, what would you guys do with this? And I got flooded with responses. I mean, I don't normally get, you know, I think it was over between this old house and then we reposted it. I'm sorry, Salvage Style Projects. And then we reposted it on this old house Facebook page. And then I think it got some one of our readers reposted it somewhere else. And I got over 100, probably a lot more from some other places like My Home Ideas where it also went up. Of responses from people saying what to do with it. So what I did is I just kind of went through in a real, like, you know, non-scientific, but, you know, fair way and counted up the number. And whoever, you know, a lot of people said the same thing. And, you know, everyone, the overwhelming response was make a table, which, you know, to me, having done this for many, many years, I thought, you know, well, that's, maybe that's not like the most creative reuse, but I actually really need a table right now. I, you know, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty simple project. And sometimes, you know, when you're doing this kind of work all the time, you forget that, you know, that people, you know, that what I might think is like a simple project is like, or too easy is like the perfect thing for someone who's just starting with salvage.
Mm.
And, you know, and I think it's easy to understand and it's easy to put together and it's incredibly useful. So, you know, I said, all right, well, you know, I have a 3-year-old and I had a glass table that I had gotten rid of because, you know, I was really afraid she was going to bonk her head on it. And I had gone, you know, 3 years without a coffee table. So I thought, all right, you know what, this is the winning one. So I'm going to make it. I'm going to follow their suggestion. And, so I was able to produce that for our reader-created issue and actually do it completely based on suggestions from people through social media. So it was kind of a nice mixture for us to be able to, you know, take something that originally started with this book and then, you know, and then create the fan page out of that book and then take some ideas from the fan page and then put it onto the magazine page.
So people can check out what you created in the July issue of This Old House magazine.
Yes, they can. So it's a coffee table that I created out of this armoire door, and it's on page 57.
Oh, page 57. That's awesome.
And it's good for 3-year-olds to be around as well.
It is. There's like, you know, I mean, I pulled this thing out of the trash and I cleaned it and I sanded it and I, you know, I waxed it. But I mean, what damage can one do, you know, to something that's pulled out of the trash, you know? It's like, that's part of the reason I really love, you know, working with these old pieces because, you know, I like to celebrate their flaws, you know, and highlight the flaws in a lot of cases because it's character. And, you know, and it really makes for easy living. I mean, there's nothing so precious that I can't, you know, my 3-year-old can't doodle, you know, on paper, of course, on the coffee table. I don't mind. And if the crayon marks go over, no big deal. You know, a little bit of sandpaper
awesome.
Or a little steel wool, take that right out and put a little beeswax on top and it's finished.
Well, what my grandmother used to say is those are little love marks and that you'll treasure them later on in life.
I thoroughly agree.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't get mad about that kind of stuff. I mean, it's a family house. You know, we keep a nice house and it's really clean for, you know, having a toddler, I think. But I like her to be able to use it. I mean, she jumps up on that thing and uses it as a stage sometimes, you know.
Well, of course. She's a 3-year-old girl.
Exactly.
Well, so people can connect with you at Salvage Style Projects on Facebook. And they can also connect with you, too. You're at IKEAs around the country.
I am, yeah. So this is, like, something completely different. So I've been doing this with two different coworkers. So far, where this is my second year, and about 15 weekends a year, I'm on the road in IKEA stores around the country in their kitchen cook shops, leading kitchen design workshops of sorts. So teaching people how to, sort of start at the very beginning, like how to envision what they want for their new kitchen. And then all the way getting into some installation tips and stuff. But it's a now we've kind of gotten it down to about an hour-long seminar, and it's part of IKEA's life improvement projects. So you could go on IKEA's website or just Google life improvement seminar or life improvement project, and your listeners can find, it's not just me, there are other magazines who are doing it as well. But yeah, the kitchen workshop has been really fun, and we often get anywhere from 20 to 45, 50 people, and we sit down and walk them through the whole process, like how to create a wish list and what countertop to choose that sort of fits the way you cook and your lifestyle and your level of I guess ability to clean or desire to clean. We talk about cabinet door styles and everything. So that's been a lot of fun. And, we're actually coming to the end of the second year. And the next two, I have a date coming up in Chicago with one of my coworkers, Alex Bandon, here at This Old House magazine. And then I have one coming up in Stoughton, Mass. With Kevin O'Connor, who you all know from the This Old House television program.
Oh, that's super cool. That would be a fun one. And Kevin really knows what's going on. As much as I want to take this opportunity to, as I always do when his name comes up, throw him immediately under the bus. Kevin is really a real dealer, and he loves what he's doing. So that is also captivating.
And he's such a nice guy. You don't really want to throw him under the bus.
I can't admit to that.
They're constantly making fun of each other. I think it's one of those, man brother kind of feelings that you can do with each other.
Well, it's not fun that we have to
take a break. So definitely go out and to Facebook and check out salvage-style projects and follow This Old House on Twitter at This Old House. Go on thisoldhouse.com and check out the July issue.
And we'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.